I'll begin this morning by asking you a question. Who are your best friends? What names pop into your head when you are asked about those with whom you are most comfortable, most intimate? Was one of those names Jesus? Okay, I guess that might have been a little tricky of me. Though the title of this message and the scripture that we read and so forth should have tipped you off to where I was leading with this. But I think the question is legitimate because it helps us to weigh our relationship with the Lord. When you think of your best friends, do you think of the Lord? If the thought of Jesus being one of our very closest friends does not ring true in our hearts, well, that might tell us something. It's true that today many professing Christians seem overly familiar, seem flippant in the way that they talk about their relationship with Jesus and other members of the Trinity. God can become just a good buddy who's always happy with us, always making wonderful things happen for us, and whose holiness and authority and dignity are not properly recognized. The let's give God a hand style of worship can be rather shallow. There's a song that's been popular. I am a friend of God. I've never heard the whole song. I might have heard bits of it. I don't know. You know, I know of the song. I have never thought that it would be a song that I would particularly be blessed by. I looked it up yesterday. And I thought I must just be seeing just a little portion of the song, because there's only like 15 words to it. But that turned out to be the whole thing. I kept going to different sites, and it was that's it. I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. There wasn't much there. Is it wrong, you know, to have a song about I'm a friend of God? No. We have, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. And Jesus, what a friend of sinners and so forth. Sing about how he is our friend. There's a lot more to it, obviously, than what's in the song. And I just the flavor that I get from the place that's coming out of, I don't know that their next worship effort is going to be, I'm a slave of God, or, you know, I'm a clay pot created by God, or I'm elected by God, or anything like that, okay? These things all tend to kind of run along the same more superficial line here. And really, what does it mean to be a friend of God? You know, I'm not sure you're going to get that out of that song, and we're going to try and get that out of the scriptures today. The fact remains that Jesus did describe himself as our friend, and I'm not downplaying that at all today. This is a term of endearment, philos in Greek. This is more than a partner, even more than a comrade. This word speaks of a deep bond of brotherly love. This amazing truth that the Son of God is indeed a friend of sinners was one of the biggest problems that the Pharisees had with Jesus. Of course, they didn't recognize Jesus' deity or a lot of things about him, but they couldn't even imagine one of themselves intentionally developing intimate relationships with those who were not keeping the law. They didn't do that. an outrage. But thankfully, the gracious God that we serve does exactly that. He establishes a friendship with us. Scripture does not record that Jesus stressed his friendship with men constantly. Jesus used the same word friend in Luke 12:4 when addressing his disciples, and we saw him call Lazarus his friend in John 11:11. My guess is that he did use that term many other times, but we don't have a record of a lot of, hey, friend, hey, you're my friends. Just like we saw that there's not a lot of, you know, hey, love you, man, that went on as far as what's recorded. But as with the assurance of Jesus' love, the confirmation of his friendship becomes very important right now in this upper room discourse. Three times in three consecutive verses, Jesus calls his disciples his friends. That sends a message. He wants them to know that despite his departure, imminent departure, a warm tie of friendship will continue between himself and his followers. It's going to change physically, but not in the relationship. It is clear that in naming these 11 men as his friends, he is naming we who know him as his friends. I'm saying that this does apply to us as well. Most of these concepts in these verses have already been encountered, but I believe they gain a freshness in the context of being friends of Jesus. We begin with the wonderful assurance that being friends of Jesus means that we receive his love. We receive his love. Verses 9 and 10, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. 13, greater love has no man than this, no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. 17, this I command you, that you love one another. So a lot about love, the love relationship in this friendship with the Lord and with each other. Similar passages that we've recently covered are John 13, 34 and 35 and John 14, 21. Only those who are friends of Jesus have ever experienced and ever exhibited true love. I know that sounds like a dramatic statement to make, but only those who are friends of Jesus ever experience or exhibit true love. Yes, there's a sense in which all people are loved by God. He sustains all life. He is merciful not to fully judge the sin of unbelievers immediately. He allows even those who are rebellious to enjoy the world that he has made. There is such a thing as common grace, and it's a sign of his love. But these verses and many others make it clear that believers are the special objects of the love of the Lord. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Well, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't know the love of God. That's the true love. I mean, what's right there front and center as far as fruit of the Spirit? It's love. If you don't have the Spirit, then where is actual, real spiritual love going to come from? You don't have it. You don't know it. We know that we have things that we call love that goes on between people, and I'm not downplaying that, but I am making what I believe is a true statement. That deep divine love is only experienced and expressed through believers. Verse 9 tells us that the friends of Jesus alone are loved with the intensity and fullness with which the Father loves the Son. Did you get that? Just ponder that for a moment. Jesus loves his followers, loves us, in exactly the same way that the Father loves the Son. Okay, are you figuring that the Father loves the Son rather completely, rather well, rather fully? That's a love that we can't even fathom. The ultimate sign of Jesus' love for his friends was his death on their behalf, as verse 13 plainly states. That's the real sign of the love. This guy died on our behalf. Here we have more echoes of the truth of particular redemption that God